Blog Talk Radio.
Good. Welcome to episode number, 26 of Looking for My Give a Fuck. I guess it says Epiphany episode 26. This is, again, Looking for My Give a Fuck is not a negative. It is a positive, and I will sum that up in a few minutes. I want to be honest with you. Oh, wait, who am I? What am I doing? What are we doing? Well, first of all, my dog, he doesn't know anything about me and my show. My dog is really bad, and he's in his own room. So if you hear him bark, I'm not doing anything. You know, I swear, we feed him, we walk him, he's just being a brat, okay, for all you dog lovers, all you animal lovers. Well, I wanted to be honest, like always, I have so many things in my mind that I want to talk about today, but things change 2, 5, 10 minutes before my show. And it did this time also, but maybe I should introduce myself and all that other stuff, right? I always get so carried away. I get so excited because I want to just get into the meat and potatoes of some concept in which that I'm, you know, trying to make happen. I swear to God, my dog is bothering me. I really apologize. I don't know what to do about that. My mom's not here to watch him. So, again, bring it back. Anyway, welcome. I'm Shirley Shepherd, your host, and this is Looking for My Give a Fuck. We said Epiphany, episode 26. Wow. Many may think when you hear of a show Looking for My Give a Fuck, it's going to be all the negative and fuck this, fuck that, you know, fuck the world. Absolutely not. Looking for My Give a Fuck came about, and I always like to give a little synopsis for people who are just listening or, you know, wait, by the way, people, someone told me, talking about my show, they're like, I don't really want to be like you. You just talk to yourself. That was funny because, you know what, I might be. But I remember, I know I changed topic real quick, but Rick D's always has 7 listeners, right? So, anyway, I don't know why I went there on that, but I just had to because someone said, Shirley, you just talk to yourself. Well, at least I conversate well with myself. And when I start answering, which is starting to happen, please call me and let me know. I have more problems than I think. All right, shoot. I don't even know where I was going. Just completely went off mark. Okay, let me find the mark that I need to come back to. Oh. How this show got started and the purpose of the show. Again, for the people that listen and my ego and id that listen, I'm like, sorry, I'm really goofy at the moment. My older brother Jay, we're downstairs every Friday. My brother comes and spends about 4 or 5 hours with my mom, and you know, this particular Friday, I happen to be home, and it was during something probably about Donald Trump being a jerk, right? And we're in the kitchen. We're always in the kitchen or at the dining room table conversating. I mean, we've been doing that for 152 years. And we just sit and we vibe and we talk. Or more so, they talk. When they don't agree with me or I don't agree with them, it can become a little crazy at times. But this particular time, they were really going in on I think with Donald Trump or just the conservatives in general. I'm a conservative now. I am a registered Republican. So that can bring problems in because I'm the first in my family, oh my God, to have done that. And I have my reasons, but that's for another show. Anyway, so they're killing me. They're just killing me. I really don't have any arguments in reference to Mr. Donald Trump because a lot of things he is Mr. Trump. He does not represent all those who are conservative or Republican. So a lot of times they're coming at me, well, why did he do that? I'm like, he's just ignorant. I don't really know. Anyway, this particular time, we're vibing and my mom's getting in. I mean, she's coming in. My brother's coming in on me. It's crazy. I'm looking under. We're sitting in this little nook in the middle of the kitchen and I'm looking under because I really want to slide underneath this nook, slide through the dining room like a snake and slither back upstairs. Quietly because they're killing me on it, right? I mean, just like slither. But my brother caught me. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for my give a fuck. And that was the beginning of us just laughing and understanding that our conversations can sometimes be dominated by the majority or my mom, because mom's intelligent. She go there and you don't kind of like, you gotta be quick to come in on mom, you know, and then she starts with dishes at my house. So then she always wins. So anyway, my brother, we start laughing, and the next day my brother brought me this book, and he's, I think it's time for you to read this book. I never realized how spiritual he was or how woke. I don't spiritual. I think he's woke. He's a genius. He's up there with another friend of mine that's pretty smart who has the same name. Anyway, so he gave me this book. It's by Eckhart Tolle. That's how I pronounce it. A New Earth Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. That's a lot of stuff. I'm like, Jay, I really don't need another book. I mean, I figured this out. And I was just like, I just have figured out I'm just an outlier. It's beyond help, right? Oh, boy. Pack myself up. Anyway, but I started to listen to it. And this is one book for anyone that's looking for tools that actually work without you having to go to a counselor or a psychiatrist, psychologist for 20 years to figure it with your parents. You know, I'm really off today. But a lot of the stuff we get by default, parents, our environment, our, you know, just friends, a lot of stuff we get from there. And so what happens with this book, or what it showed me, is that when things pop up, why do I have a default reaction to it? And look into that. And when you look into it, it's not about looking into to blame. No, it's just looking into it, sitting with it, seeing if it's something that you want to dig into to make you a better person, not to dig into it so that you can go and tell your mama she was wrong or your daddy she was that. But no, you can't do that. You can't do that. All you can do is take what you've got and be aware of it. And guess what? You don't even have to make a change. You don't have to do shit. But you do if you'd like to live a life that's not, you know, based upon what everyone thinks of you or what happened to you in the past. You do get that moment when you know, have this automatic default, especially negativity or positivity. I mean, just whatever your default is. And you're just going, wait, why did that happen? And as I was listening to this book, I do it in the car. I think it was traffic or something like that. Excuse me. And I said, I apologize. And I said, well, why am I getting mad about this? Am I mad about the traffic, or am I mad about what I'm thinking about why I'm in traffic? And that was the beginning of learning of this thing called this ego. It's so funny. People say you don't live by your ego, but yet you go to school and your ego is who you are, right? I mean, because in this life, you have to have an ego in order to sustain the demands that life has, depending on what road you take. Even without the road, the ego is a motherfucker. And the ego is one thing that we believe we have the right to create. You know, we have the right to establish our ego. No, in my opinion, no. It comes from a lot of that stuff, from birth, from family, from culture, all that stuff depends on, you know, it develops your ego is usually starting to develop before you're probably even born. I mean, I believe that. I mean, I don't know. But the bottom line is this ego is a hell of a thing. The ego will propel you to greatness, and the ego will bring you down the same day. The ego will show you your greatness, but then will say to you, you know, you did one little thing wrong, and that one little thing wrong will bring you down. Why is that? I don't know. It comes from a lot of places, and the only thing that we can do as individuals is every time something comes up that triggers that, visit with it, think about where it came from. Think about, is it something that you want to adjust in your life? Is it, you know, some people use words, you want to get rid of a curse. I don't believe it's a curse. It's just a way of things. Okay, so you think to yourself, do I want to get rid of this? Do I want to work on this? Okay, let me work on it with me first. What has it done to me that I have this default and I say these things or I don't say these things or I'm closed up or I'm mean or whatever? Okay, work on you first, but you don't have to, how do I say this? You don't have to go to someone once a week to get to the source of who you are when you're rocking with yourself 24 hours a day. You know, the older I get, the simplicity life truly is. I go to talk to a counselor. I've had them for years, which I do. But usually it's based on some goals that I want to state, set and accountability for things that may have been problems, right? But I don't go to them to fix me. And a lot of people might go to others or blame others to, in order to fix or to tame their ego or whatever could be going on with them. But this book here would be something nice, I think, about if people that go to counseling and you're digging into your past to determine why you're acting a particular way in the current and how you want to make shift. And they'll tell you, well, you got to let go of the parents. You got to let go of this. Yeah, that's all true. All that. But then that's all we have is our family, too. Whether you talk to them or not, they're a part of your genes, right? And everyone's telling you, just get rid of them. I don't think that's completely the right answer. However, if you read this book and you understand the triggers and you understand that when you have one of those things, you know, write it down. And if you do have a counselor, you go in and say, you know, I why am I doing this? Or let's talk about this. Counselors are there, you know, for you to talk and to bring forth, and they just pull it out of you. You're not supposed to do your work. Anyway, it's a great book. Great concept. I learn every single day, and I just, you know, I always start my show off, and I always screw up with my time frame and the things I want to talk about. Anyway, it's a really, really good book, and the more and more I think about people as, you know, as I'm doing this show, I'm thinking about friends and stuff, saying, gosh, you know, they need my book. They need to just work on some things just to be a better. You know, when you work on yourself, it's not the happiest thing in the world. I mean, you don't go around like, oh, I'm working on myself. Let's go to Disneyland. No. But it begins to formulate something in you. It gives you a drive. It gives you an internal peace, even when you are working on the most difficult pains and experiences in life internally. But it's giving you peace. It's so strange. I wish I had the verbiage to explain some of the things I'm learning, because at some point things are just coming from my heart. But to think about it, when you're dealing internally with some real shit, no one's around, you're just dealing with it, not necessarily where it's coming from, just that it's there. You know what I mean? You're dealing with it, and then as you're dealing with it, there's this peace, like I get to control this, not control it, I get to work with it. To me, that's living. That's cool. I can't wait to go and deal with some shit I got to deal with after the show. Okay, well, one thing I do want to add is my brother said that the United States is a corporation and that our life is a contract, and we better make sure that we enter and get out of contracts accordingly. That's going to make our life correct. We'll talk about that another day. But, you know, the more and more I am thinking about life, the more I agree with him again. He says that the United States is a corporation and we are a part of that. And what part do you want to be? You want to be a worker or do you want to be an LLC? Ooh, that's pretty good to talk about that. All right. This is a moment that I really didn't want to get to because it kind of hurts my soul. I don't give names of people when I'm doing my show. But I can send out some love and stuff. Last week, I touched on, we were talking about, I can't say this, JT said, you know, we're going to die, and I went into what? What the fuck, me dying? No. You're right. I'm serious. I mean, he used to say, like I said this before, he used to say, no one's going to get out of here alive, and when someone says that, I'm like, shoot, you ain't met me yet. But then he said, no, you're going to die, and again, walking my dog, who is now being quiet, thank you very much, I started thinking about that. Why am I so fearful of it? Whatever, and it was heavy. A little heavy, and I'm with my mom, who's 83, and let me, before I go into my own personal thing with that real quick, anyway, it was a great show, because it really allowed, great show, kind of a bad show, but the moral of the story there was looking at life, why are we afraid of it, what's happening, and how, because of the gap, or how we deal with death, that we miss out in life, there's a hole for some reason in life, and every day something changes. And a friend of mine, that I call her friend, is experiencing something that the next day tested this thing of, you know, moving into the next realm. What does that look like? How is that going to feel? And I communicate with her regularly. But it's hard to say, well, you know, thank God my mom's still here. Right? It's true, because we're so afraid. But then there's this glorious part that the person is sitting with, in this case, her mother, and as painful as it may be, she gets that opportunity that when I talked about my friends when we were there and we watched this beautiful, unbelievable energy just move out of her. So this person will get that opportunity too. Does it make anything better? Nope. But I can still see my friend going wherever she was going. And I was like, that's fucking cool. So that's heavy. It's also heavy when you have an older parent that's still alive, and I'm very lucky. But, you know, I told you this morning when my show was getting ready to start, my mom, you know, comes into her, every room in the house is hers because she owns the house. And she said, well, you know, I think I'm going to go to hospital. I'm like, oh my God, Mom, why now, you know? And she has this rash, and she's going to the hospital. And as she was getting dressed, because even though, you know, she's 83, she's feisty, and she's amazing, she said, you know, I'm just getting older, and I get really afraid anytime something isn't right. That hit me, because I never really looked at my mother as being 83. Excuse me. I said, well, do you want me to take him? She said, no, I got it. I got me a new car. I can go. Do that show. Do that show. Depending on how God has his plan, there would be that day or the day my mom sees me. And I hope that I'm at that point where, even though it's painful, like I know my friend's going through pain, I can honor the energy going, wait a minute, too many good people are going up there. Damn it. So on that, I send angels. And on that, as I watch my mother, people that, it's hard watching my mother getting older because I'm also getting older and I have friends that are dying. Other friends are dying. And I'm going to, you know, well. So it's real hard. So if I don't get that death thing right or that life after death thing right, it's going to be a problem because it's going to start working. You know, ultimately I'm going to be there, or just dealing with as I've gotten older, there'll be calls every other week. That's starting to happen. Even the young kids, kind of crazy. Anyway, I just wanted to say, although this may not come out right, a blessing to be able to witness it. And I wish my friend the best on that. Okay, sorry. Didn't mean to get there on that. Oh, by the way, older people, they're not crazy. They have anxiety. I think they should just give older people anxiety pills. They will just chill out because they're afraid of everything. My mom's like afraid of just doing anything wrong because they could, you know, it could cause something, her bones to break, or, you know, just, they're just afraid of living. Ooh, next week's topic. Boom. I want to change it. I'm going to do something fun. I have 10 minutes. Sorry. And I was on the phone with a friend yesterday. In fact, I have been invited to two weddings already, and it is what? The 19th of September, and neither of them are my weddings. Anyway, we talked about his wedding. It's going to be so amazing. I'm so happy for him. And then, you know, I know that his wife to be is white. And, okay, there goes that conversation in that he is black. And so he shared with me his reasoning, you know, his whole thing about, sorry if there's noise out there by my window. Wait a minute, it's going to come to that. Woohoo, I'm so excited. I can figure out how to play some music really quick. Anyway, he explained to me that he told me a lot about her, and she seems amazing. Okay, I really don't see color. I don't even have the right to talk. My baby daddy's not black. But anyway, it was so cute because he goes into, well, you know how you black women. I'm like, here we go. Here we go, bro, right? And so he says, well, you know, well, just women in general, and they say they don't need a man, and they can do anything they want. And I said, no, I think you kind of, here's my interpretation remember when there were only, remember when the economy had it, where only one person had to work, and the other person could do what I call my favorite American sitcom back in the day, you know, wait till your father comes home. And there was a reason I still remember this sitcom. And it really talks about when women say, hey, I can take care of myself. I don't want it to. The economy had it to where if two people didn't work, the kids were not eating. Okay? So when a woman says, I don't need a man, I can pay my bills, I am under the impression she systemically means that I got my half. I'm good. I got my half. But Patrick and I started talking about what happened to the family, the core of the family, and when what women did at home was so important, in that the fathers would come and do their thing after work. And the parents, you know, the mother, she took care of the home. Well, women today probably have to do both. But let's go back to, just for a minute, let's see if I can play this song because I love it. Let's go back to, there were two people in the family. Excuse me. There was a mother and father here. I think two kids. I don't know how many kids. And mother was a housewife, and daddy would come home, and we would hear this song, you guys. Let me try it. Woo! Wait till your father gets home. Why do I remember that? So many times. At one time, there was ten of us in one house. My mom would be like, wait till y'all's father get home, for real. And we would be so scared, you know. And then he'd be too tired. Now that I'm older, he was too tired to whoop like 10 kids. So he would say, come on in. Okay, I'm not going to whoop you. Just make some noise and your mama think I'm whooping you, right? And it helped Patrick and I get back to what are relationships about? What are we looking for? Is it wrong for a woman to say, hey, I can pay my bills? Does she mean she doesn't need a man, or she just means she can pay her bills? I think if you want love, you need something. You know, because last time I checked, a utility bill or credit card bill does not, you know, I don't know, people have sex with weird things these days, but, you know, just because you can pay the bills, you probably do want some type of love, whatever that love looks like to you. So when women say that, again, it's just a matter of, I got this, okay. But I also want to add this. We started, you know, again, talking about relationships with different things. And I said, you know what? Wait a minute. When I was with my son's father was kind of a badass, and everyone knows it. So it's public knowledge. I'm not talking shit about him on the radio. It's real. He, you know, oh my God, there was a time he got raided. He got raided, and they saw us, and I pulled up to the house to drop him off or something. I was going to school. And his house, 10 places were being raided all at one time. And they had search thingies for me and him. And I was on my way, I was at Cal State LA, and I was taking criminal justice courses. I was going to be a cop, yeah, believe it or not. And he told the cops, just leave her alone. You guys know she hasn't done anything. And she has an exam to take. Go, go, go. Let her go. And they ultimately did. And I said, you know, that was nice of you. He said, no, that's not nice. He said, and I know this sounds bad, he said, but I need someone, if I get in some type of shit, I need someone that can write a motion to get me out. He didn't need me to be the other drug girl. And I'm not, you know, not knocking it, or the sidekick, tri-kicks, and all those other kicks that he had. Because he know I ain't going to, I don't give a damn, I'm never going to do anything to get myself in trouble for no love. But he said, you'll be able to write a motion, you'll be able to use your brain, and that's why you can have everything you want. Because I know if something happens, you've got my back. Patrick's like, that's what we're looking for. A woman that has just our back. You don't have to be like us. No gangster lean, no nothing like that. But if I call you and say, Shirley, you know, we in trouble. I need a motion. Everyone calls me. Shirley, I'm in trouble. Do you know how to do that motion? No, but I'll figure it out. I got you. Relationships should be like that. I got your back. I got you. Relationships are about coming together, even with your triggers and your issues. They all get to come too. But it's kind of like, I got you. And I thought, what relationship reminds me of this concept? My son. My son has been dating his fiance. They've been together, I guess, since for a very long time, maybe 10 years now, okay? And before that, my son was dating a girl who liked to party. And my son was in his early 20s. You think he'd want to party like a rock star too. But he said, no, Mom, I'm going to be at a certain age, then I'll party. And I thought, God, you're boring, right? My son already had his plan. So when he met when he met her, they talked about it. At their, you know, in early age, you know, in their 20s, they started talking about what relationships look like. And so they both had they all both went to college. And then they had these little jobs after college. And then they woke up one day and said, okay, we're hitting, I think she's like 2 years younger than him. He's like 30-something. I don't know how he is because I don't want to be aging myself. Anyway, so they worked it out to where my son was able to work and put her through school. And I think she was able to do the same. Now she is a registered nurse at the Los Angeles Children's Hospital in neonatal care. She loves that. She's been wanting to do it forever. She's so good with babies. Can't wait till they have theirs. And as you know, she's a firefighter. Hopefully be getting permanently set next month. Anyway, they were a team. They worked it out. They had each other's back. Young adults that are, you know, looking for relationships, it's not about love. It's about plans. It's about, remember, the United States is a corporation, as my brother put it. And if that's the case and relationships are contracts, then you better make sure you know who you're contracting with. How come people put more time in an interview or their shoes than looking for a man? You get a tingle, oh, that's him. I just don't understand that. And then they're looking for the man, I'm sorry to say this, to help them understand what they need when the man's still figuring that out too. You're doing too much. You're just doing too much. Get with somebody, get a plan, and work each other's plan. And if for some reason the relationship doesn't go well, that's okay. Still be able, hopefully, contact that person and always know that that was some type of relationship in your life. It doesn't necessarily have to be negative. Now, to full circle my son's relationship with his fiance, he has a best friend, and his best friend is a psychiatrist. Well, you know what? You better have a friend who's a psychiatrist if you're a firefighter and if your wife is a nurse with a very, very strenuous and emotional issues at hand. And to have a best friend that's a psychiatrist. Now, goddamn, that's a gang. Fuck them Crips and them Bloods. We got the Quantrant. But that's what it's about, your core circle. Talk about that next week, and let's talk about why our default triggers haven't taught us that. You know what? All we gotta do is just shift a little bit, shift, make shift, and then teach, and then it works, it'll work, I believe. Until then, I want everyone to think about what my brother said at the beginning of the show. He said, I was telling you, the United States is a corporation. Are we an LLC, a DBA, or just being an employee? You decide. You get a lot more benefits if you're an LLC. And that's having a team that works well with you as you are in love, as you are creating, a living, a life. And I also want to go back to the emotional aspects, my last 60 seconds here. Life, death, the gap. Let's work on mending that gap so that when we have to face it, we have our core group of people that are there for us, and we have our mind that's prepared. I gotta work on that. I'll tell you guys some things I'll do next week. I'll share. But until then, I guess I have to go. Anyway, everyone, I just really enjoyed talking to my ego. But anyway, have a great week. I look forward to getting back on the air. And until then, make great, great memories. All right, I'm about to rock it with the closing. Same opening song. Bye, everybody.